Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to What Jail Is Like!
Ah, jeez.
Ah, yeah. 2 hours of improvisational comedy and radio theater and drama and all around. Fantastic fun.
We gotta get Chuck D to remix that.
Oh, we do. Yeah.
Has anybody heard the new Prince album?
No.
I really want to hear Chuck D and Prince.
Oh, yes. Really? I've heard nothing but good things about that.
Really? And I want to hear Ani DiFranco and Prince. I think that would be really interesting, too. Yeah.
Or is that on her album? Or
no, it's on this new one. There's a Chuck D and Prince song and an Ani DiFranco and Prince song.
I want to hear Chuck D and Ani DiFranco song.
That would be phenomenal.
Seriously. Yeah.
Like, I want to hear, like, yeah, that'd just be...
I think it's kind of cool that Prince is finally acknowledging the existence of other human beings again.
That's true. I mean, Prince is pretty much revered as a god in the music industry by every musician. He's pretty much universal.
Especially,
anybody who performs.
No one as much as himself.
That's true. Like, well, I think that's important. It's probably the secret to his success.
Is that he loves himself the most. He thinks he's a genius more than anybody else.
So I just want to say
I'm
this.
I'm my number one fan.
I've got my own back.
This is a familiar obsession of mine, as anyone who knows me personally. But I want to say...
The little kids?
What?
The little kids thing?
It's a bigger obsession than that.
Different obsession.
Yeah. If you could hear dirty stares over the radio, you'd have heard one.
That's what that
sounds
like.
Yeah. Strangely melodic, isn't it? Yeah. A familiar obsession of mine that I've spoken about before is just that going into this year, I was really afraid that this was going to be the year of that song, Party Like It's 1999. I was really afraid that, like, people all over the place were just going to play the crap out of that Prince single. That, you know, like, light rock radio stations were going to be putting in rotation on the hour because it's so clever because it is 1999 now.
Get
you
it?
Know? Right. And I do want to give a collective shout-out to the entire world because the entire world has actually really kind of reaffirmed my faith for just, you know, 0.5 seconds before, you know, threw it down and spit on them again. But I was really pleased, noted just a couple weeks ago, that I really haven't seen the media in general be saturated with that song.
Definitely around New Year's last year is ridiculous, but...
Yeah.
Do you think Prince thought about that when he wrote it? Like,
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I think he was writing it, and it didn't even occur to him that 1999 would actually happen, you know?
Like, yeah. I think, the sense that you get from looking around, like, corporations all over the place and just, you know, cultural documents of every generation before ours, the supreme 20 to 25-year-olds that we are, is that nobody really thought that the next century was going to happen. You know, everybody was naming every 20th century. Oh, yeah, 2000. 2000's the limit. Yeah.
Well, it's so funny because it should be duly noted at this point that Boss Gags actually has a song called 1993 that he recorded in the early 80s. So, you know, Prince shouldn't really be the only visionary up there that was...
And let me just say...
Had a foresight, too.
Yeah. 1993 was pretty rough, hearing all that Boz Skaggs.
There was that really old song called 1814. You remember that? In 1814, we took a little trip along... Never mind.
Yeah, 1993 was ridiculous.
With the Boz Skaggs.
Every party I went to.
Boz Skaggs everywhere.
Out the ass.
The year of Skaggs.
That was very gross.
You remember one year when it was
delicious.
Like 97 was all Tippecanoe and Tyler too.
Yeah.
I don't know what that had to do with anything, but I wanted to make that historical reference, if that's okay.
Oh, dude.
So what y'all doing, everybody?
I don't know.
They're doing it on a futon or...
Doing it. Stick it in, pull it out again.
I sincerely hope that's what you're doing.
And I sincerely hope I hope the cake comes out well.
Yes.
You're going to want to leave it in a little longer. You don't want to just stick it right in and pull it right back out.
Right, but when it's done, you want to pull it out again. If it's not cooked in the middle, you know, stick it back in and pull it out. Stick a knife in and pull it out again.
My name is Mark, with me are...
Eric.
And Matt.
What we're going to be doing for the next 2 hours is improvising, letting you in the door of the process of creation, letting you see how the funny is made.
Yeah, you haven't been getting much cake lately. There's been a lack of bakery items in your life.
You know, the more that we continued that cake metaphor, the creepier it would get.
It's illegal, can you believe that?
Who would have thought? Oh, boy.
I got a story for you all. You want to hear it?
Oh, Tell me a story.
This transpired on one Wednesday night. I sent it home. I was going to go see The World Is Not Enough, the James Bond movie, just for the hell of it. I was going to meet some friends there. I was going to meet you there.
Yes. He's pointing at Mark.
And so I was going to get in a car with a one, James Johnson, because I know he's listening right now. Well, if he's a good little boy, he is. So we were in his car, our shotgun, and he was driving, and then there were, we had two other friends of ours in the backseat, Susan and Lydia. So we're driving down... did you hear the story already?
Yeah, I heard it. But well, I mean, I haven't heard it from...
I was kind of only telling you.
Well, if we can't entertain ourselves...
I haven't heard the horror firsthand.
Oh, well, yeah. It's kind of anticlimactic if you tell something for the 50th time.
Bring it on.
I'll try to. So anyway, we're driving down... what's that road? 74. We right around the Neil Street exit. The hood of the car flies up and smashes into the windshield, spiderwebbing the whole thing and blocking, like, you know, all of the windshield off from view. So it wraps around the sides of the car and onto the top, the roof of the car, and the whole thing is spiderwebbed. And there's like a 3-inch like space beneath the hood that you can still see out of if you crouch down. So me and James like crouched down, staring at this thing. He's like staring like this. I'm trying to guide him to safety. So I'm like, all right, you need to slow down, James. The girl's screaming in the back. We're both screaming, like, but I'm trying to stay calm. James is miraculously creepy calm too. So we're driving. I'm like, you need to slow down, pull off to the side. He's like, okay. So we start to slow down, and there's a semi behind us barreling down on us. Starts flashing his lights, honking his horn, and slamming on its brakes. You know, we're like, oh my god, if this is the thing, is either going to run over us or jackknife and flip over?
What's the semi thinking in that situation? It's like, those jerks, they're slowing down.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's not, you know, semis really, 18-wheelers aren't things that are prone to making quick lane changes. So.
That's true.
Not the handling of a sports car.
Not quick like a bunny.
No. So like, oh, okay, we got to pull over somewhere else. So we try to pull off onto the exit to go, and there's a car zooming past the semi down the exit ramp. So we're like, can't go in that one. So we swerve back and almost into our lane again, but we managed to bring it to a stop in the little triangle of space between the road and the off-ramp. So we stopped, and then we slid down a huge embankment, hopped over our friends into Barnes & Noble in the freezing cold, called James' dad, came and rescued us.
Wow.
See, now you said that he was strangely calm, but
yeah.
What you didn't know, or what you may not have known about James, is that he actually is a Hong Kong action star.
Right.
That kind of stuff happens to him every day.
He's like,
one time he's riding his bike, the front tire blew up, flew up over the handlebars, wrapped around, he couldn't see around it, and he managed to...
He's going 80.
He's going 80 down the quad. Two rollerbladers and a quad preacher, and he just managed to get it right between them and come to a rest at in a small triangle between two sidewalks.
So he just lives as though he's in an internal stunt.
Right.
You know, and that really brings up a larger social point, is that Hong Kong action stars walk amongst us and we don't even know it. You know, they look like any other person.
Well, they like to keep, you know, they like to stay on the down low. They don't want to be bragging about who they are.
But it's just watch. You'll know them because they'll slide on their shoulders a lot across rooms for no reason. And they'll always have two of something that they only need one of. Like, you know, it's like if they take a test, they've got their double fist in the pencils. Two number twos, you know. If they're drinking a beer, they got two.
That's so true. They're walking around campus with two backpacks.
Exactly. You know, it's whatever they can do. And they've always got sunglasses on.
Two pair of sunglasses.
Yes. And a billowy coat.
You gotta learn how to recognize all those important hallmarks, you know? Like, you've encountered an anime person who's not a real person, it's an anime person, if they're fetishizing technology. Oh, yeah.
Or if they have speed lines, no matter what they're doing. If they're just standing still, but there's, like, motion lines around them.
Huge, quick-blinking eyeballs.
Yes, so they've got gigantic eyes, and they're fetishizing technology at a really high speed.
And a sword bigger than them.
Yes.
They're wielding a weapon that is larger than them.
Yeah, that's not your TA. So don't take the chem test from him. You don't have to take that test.
But if it is your TA, just do whatever he says. Chances are he may mutate into a large blob of protoplasmic death.
Rip your arms off.
Yes. It's really horrible.
I was thinking about a nickel for every time that I've kicked this file cabinet as a sound effect.
Yeah.
I'd be a rich mofo.
Yeah, you'd have like 250 by now.
Lawrence is loving it. He's all slumped over there. He loves when I kick the file cabinet. Don't you, Lawrence?
Yeah, I'd love to know what the rotting corpse of Lawrence Welk did for Thanksgiving. I mean, I know what you guys did because we talked about it, and I know what I did because I was there.
He had he had some stray alley cats over to feast on his stomach and his thighs, what's left of them. So he definitely gave thanks, you know, and gave to others what, you know, he had to give.
And that's what Lawrence has always been about, you know.
Having alley cats feast on his thighs. even in life, you know, whenever he had the chance and he wasn't on tour.
You know, I was watching, PBS has Lawrence Welk Variety Hour every Saturday. Every Saturday. And right before Antiques Roadshow, I know this because my friend Katie likes to watch the Antiques Roadshow.
Oh, so, it's the best show on TV.
She digs it.
Clearly, it's the best show.
And Lawrence Welk's on before, and she said, "You don't have Lawrence Welk on the show with you." And I said, "What?" She's like, "Lawrence isn't really there." I said, "Of course he's there." She said, "No, he's not. He's on the show. He's not dead. He's on the show." So she turned it on, trying to prove me a point. He wasn't there. Guest host. So, nice. You know, saved by... I didn't want to explain to her that the show is actually from, like, 1964.
Yeah, well, that would be trouble. He's a highly elusive, you know, celebrity.
Yeah, well, we got him, you know, signed to...
But he does, he's got his priorities, and he knows what's important to us. To him, and so... And his well-being, so...
And I'd like to say that I really think that was a good idea, the bedazzler. Right across
his
forehead.
He was looking a little drab.
Yeah, you just really bedazzled him up. You know, I mean, I would have just done his clothing, but, you know...
Right. Well, being a corpse for so many years it's not good for the skin.
No, no.
It does something to the, you know, the moisture.
I'm really glad that you guys stopped making me oil of Olayim every night.
Well, you know, it just didn't seem to be retaining it the way that we hoped it would. So bedazzler seems.
He does. He's
vibrant. Some may say.
Vibrant.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a word?
Oh yeah. You'd be amazed the amount of words that.
It yeah, it's when you rent Vive. You don't have enough Vive of your own, but you don't want to buy it, so you just kind of lease the Vive.
You can rent Vive to own.
Yeah. So it's a great setup.
You guys try.
Vive lease.
caught in a lie. Everybody have a good week?
No, they didn't have a good week.
How could they have?
When
they
no, I'm asking like, you two.
Oh, really of course. Care. I had a great week.
Oh, I had a great week.
Hookers filleting.
Seriously. Filleting hookers.
Lemur butts full of cocaine. It's great.
Good time.
Hedonism.
Unchecked.
Unchecked hedonism. It's the name of my new hardcore band.
That'd be awesome.
I want to encourage all the college students who are out there to stay in Champaign for at least one Thanksgiving break. I know most people, you know, go up and visit their families or their mockery of a family or their sham of a family.
Hello, mockery of my family. I am home for the holidays.
It's like these... like really scary Tim Burton like animation looking like mm-hmm. people like that aren't really your family. Your family's off somewhere.
But you need to spend at least one Thanksgiving in Champaign. It's fascinating, just the very subtle differences. First of all, they stop pretending it's a real town. Actually, a lot of it just comes down. They put it in storage for cleaning and stuff, you know. So entire sections of the...
They just take down the big things that are supporting them.
Yeah, entire sections of the place are missing. It's really interesting. And... late-night grocery stores. I'm not going to mention the late-night grocery store in specific that I went to because I don't want to give a commercial endorsement. But anybody who goes to late-night grocery stores, as is a fine thing to do, at 2 a.m. knows that everybody except you is a damn creepy person. Everybody you find in there, very creepy person. And boy, is that ever magnified on Thanksgiving. It is, I mean, you show up there at 2 a.m., and those are some real hardcore suckers.
Yeah.
They've been sucking for a long time.
Hardcore.
Oh, yes.
And sucking hard.
What was I going to say? I was going to comment on something. What were you talking about right before the... Oh, yeah, I think there's a gradient of things that people have to try in Champaign. You know, for us being, you know, working our way up to staying the summer in Champaign.
Yeah.
Where the town still, like, attempts to put on the charade that it's a town.
Yeah, I mean, you can kind of notice.
They let down their guard a lot.
Yeah.
Some stores
occasionally catch them like moving a building facade around.
Yeah, some stores pack it in and fold it up and put it into a store.
I love when you catch
store,
one of the workers like moving something and they're like,
a surprised look on their face.
They have to try to make, they like make an excuse. We'll be open at 10.
Well, the mail people just deliver blank, empty envelopes to people.
Yeah, your inflatable neighbors that you had on your, you would see them around. They don't even try putting them up anymore.
Sometimes the sun doesn't even shine. It's mm-hmm. just a dark hole. And then spending holidays here is another thing on the scale of things to do in Champaign.
I have to say that I think the number one thing you have to do in Champaign, because it looks like I think everybody in Champaign may have done this at one point or another, is work at a very small company located in the cornfields out past, technically in Staley. I don't know if I want to say the company name on the air. But,
well, you pretty much have to put your time in there. If you're
really
in the Champaign Urbana, you have to get screwed over by this place.
If you want to know where it is, just give us a call during the next musical break, and we'll give you the name of the place. But it's nice. They'll screw you like you've never been
Definitely. There's an entire like factory industrial park beyond, like just beyond Mattis. Well, I mean, not beyond Mattis because, you know, that's a street. But
can,
like,
I say Dick on the radio?
Yeah, you can. I think you can say Dick.
Yeah. Well, that's what would happen if you worked there.
Over.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, because that actually is not many people know this. I'm a big fan of the origin of, you know, slang terms.
Sure.
That actually refers to Dick Clark.
Really?
Yeah. He had a really big tendency during the American Bandstand years to just not pay the bands, to snort their pay up his nose kind of thing, you know?
Right.
And so that's where the origin of Dick Dover comes from.
Wow. So he got blacklisted of sorts.
Sort of. I mean, you know, sort of. Like bands public, like, but, you know, like Grand Funk Railroad would be on, you know, American Bandstand, and then later, oh, you know, wow, we really got dicked over, meaning like Dick Clark.
Right. Like, so it was good for publicity, but the checks never came.
Right.
That's interesting. Hmm. Do you know that ass, the derogatory use of the word ass, comes from the larger word assassin? Because, assassin shows up, kills your dad in the middle of the family gathering because your dad, you know, did something to offend the cult. And you're like, God, what an ass!
Right.
Well, and that's when another one of those that comes from, like, you know, a shortening of a word.
Right.
Like, what an assassin.
Yeah, he was just saying, what an assassin, meaning you did a really good job of killing my dad, that guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, over the years it gets shortened and the meaning gets twisted around.
It's like behind your back. Used to mean, will you sleep with me?
Mm-hmm.
But now it means something completely different.
Yeah, boob. Used to be a boob-a-looby-shoop-doop-doop-loob-doob-doob-doob-billy-boob.
And it was used to refer to house painting.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, over the years, I'm sure I don't need to make the connection for you. You know, but you can trace it yourself in your head. It just comes down to that.
Sweater monkeys. I want everybody to start using sweater monkeys.
Are those cobwebs right behind your head there? In the window? In the corner of the window there?
Yes. They're actually between two windows.
Between two windows?
There's an area between two windows in the studio.
We're all going to die in the studio someday.
Yeah.
There's a huge race of mutant spiders that lives between those two windows.
There's so many things wrong. I don't even think that people are hearing us sometimes. This isn't making an app. This is all a charade. A charade, I tell you.
Oh, boy. We've scared ourselves now.
I know.
I'm freaked.
I'm really interested in trying to do a... When does New Year's Eve fall this year? Like,
that's on a Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
January 1st is, so I guess Friday night would be
New Year's Eve. How phenomenal would it be to be in here doing the 10 to midnight shift on New Year's Eve?
Yeah, the thought had occurred to me.
You know, just waiting for everything to explode at the end of our show.
Well, I mean, given how, like, we always overrun on time, we'd have, like, 2 minutes left in the Herald, you know? All the power would die right there.
Well, just everybody would be cast into the pit screaming. Like, that'd be awesome.
And they'd be screaming, no, don't take us in the fiery pit of hell. We want to know how it ends.
Exactly.
Does the monkey ever find his mother?
The last thing that humanity hears is what jail is like.
Yeah. Well, I was watching on TV about some hot toys for this season, because everybody's buying online now, in case you guys haven't heard. If you're caught at a store, then you're just a dummy.
Yeah.
So shop online. But one of the hot toys is the Millennium Barbie. You know, she's got this flowing gown on. When I think the real Millennium Barbie, she'll have like a sawed-off shotgun and two trained attack dogs.
and be undead.
She like comes ripped shirt and like smeared in mud.
Comes with her two carrying cases of beans.
Yeah, like, stay away from my beans! She's got a can of like radioactive tuna.
And here's Undead Ken and their friend Cannibal Skipper.
Seriously. Because that's all going down, you know. You guys are all aware of that fact, right?
Oh, no, yeah. Guys, you know what? I was hanging out with Jehovah last Tuesday.
Damn, I've been trying to call him.
Yeah, I ran into him.
Me back.
I ran into him, and you know, he's been dodging. Because you know why? He doesn't want... There's nothing happening.
Seriously.
He wanted to get the rapture together, but he's... You know how he is. He procrastinates.
He procrastinates.
He should have had the world done in 4 days.
Well, seriously.
He took seven. He couldn't.
The horsemen are out, like, they're always.
Well, he's only got three of them. He's only really. There's still want ads in Variety looking for the fourth horseman.
There have been tryouts and stuff.
He's not together right now. He's too busy. He's got this whole Mary Magdalene scandal thing going on. Yeah. He doesn't, you know, and he's trying to keep a low profile. Guys, I talked to him. There's nothing. There's no rapture. There might be a slight euphoria.
But it's just,
but there's no rapture.
It's just going to be kind of repeated. It's just going to be the basic idea of the euphoria repeated over and over again, just kind of restated.
Yeah.
Yeah, that figures.
What about when the militias enter into our cities and just start opening fire on the public?
Well, that's our own problem. See, Jehovah ain't taking no responsibility for the crazies, for the whack asses.
That's the kind of stuff that I think is actually going to happen, like self-fulfilling prophecies. Like people like, oh, like just people walking their dog on a normal day.
Oh, the millennium made me do it. Bam! Oh, it's 2000!
He tried to steal my water. I was walking my dog across the street. I saw your dog eyeing my water.
I'm really interested to just sit on a roof somewhere. I really wish buildings would just fall over. Like, not explode or anything, just like... Like, 3, 2, 1! No, not even down. Just like... Just houses going. Were just like, your house wasn't Y2K compatible. That'd be just so phenomenal. Just everything just kind of like hit its warranty at the same time. And it's like,
except the roof you were sitting on.
Yeah, except my house. Well, my house is Y2K compatible.
Oh, it's like Fight Club.
Yeah, that's. I would love it to look like that without the explosions.
And I'm really kind of hoping Where Is My Mind, or just any Pixie song just about plays really loud.
But not Debaser. Not Debaser, but you know.
Not the next to last track on Doolittle. I can't remember which one it was.
Yeah.
Pretty much just Where Is My Mind.
Monkey Gone to Heaven, maybe?
That would be phenomenal.
Yes.
What a wonderful,
if everyone could get together on that, I mean, you know, maybe we can't rely on Jehovah for this one, so if everyone could just, you know, get their copy of Doolittle out, have it ready 11:59, we can work together on this.
They were saying that, like, they think, I heard this over the weekend, that they think the majority of the problems are going to be caused by people, like, turning on all their, like, everybody turning on all their lights at midnight to see if everything still works, and then blowing the power grids. Or, like, everybody flushing their toilets all at once to check that they still work, and then blowing up the water mains.
Yeah.
Which I think is a very convenient excuse when stuff starts blowing up. Like, oh, well, everybody must have checked their lights at the same time. And, you know, because there's, like, you know, 50% of the people really will, so everybody will be like, well, I did turn my light. I did try my lights. That's how I knew they weren't on. I must have blown them. We must all turn them out at the same time. You know. And what happens? Does, you know, is it like, is the rapture like seven, is it midnight, you know, Eastern and Pacific time? You know? And then do we get an hour later? Like, do we get an hour more time than New York?
No, it sweeps across the country and it makes it there at the appropriate time.
Yeah, I mean, it's driving like a souped-up Thunderbird, so, I mean, it's getting across pretty fast, but it takes a, you know, a certain amount of time.
So you can actually get yourself a whole extra 24 hours if you started at the international dateline and just moved just fast enough all the way across the world. It's a constant movement, but hey. Whirlwind tour, one last night on Earth.
That's right.
You know, yeah, time zones have really bollocksed it for everybody. You know, I mean, which time zone is Jehovah, you know, interested
in? He's Greenwich Mean Time.
Okay, so all of us are going to know. We're going to bloody well know, you know, ahead of time. I don't like that at all.
Yeah, I really, you know, if it's going to happen, I don't want to be hearing about it on the news.
Yeah.
I don't be like... And here's New Year's Eve in London, wink, out of existence. Yeah. Well, because then, right, then you got to buy, you know, now you're the last ones to go. So it's like, now you just, by like, you know, by midnight mountain time, the people in California are like, all right, I'm tired of wetting myself. Let's just get it over with.
Well, hurry. You're not going to have much time left to beat Super Mario Brothers 3. Obviously, my vision of the millennium has no resonance with anyone else.
So it's 8 bits, dude.
Yeah.
Seriously,
dude. I know, man.
I thought Super Mario Bros. 2 was the high point of the series.
Really?
I really did. I liked the 2.
The quirky sequel?
It was quirky.
What I found interesting, actually, I read once that that actually wasn't designed as a Super Mario Brothers game at all. Nintendo was really, like, really wanted to get a Super Mario Brothers sequel out. They didn't have anything ready at all. So they bought out an entirely pre-existing game and inserted Mario into it. Hmm. That's why it has no continuity links.
Yeah. I'll buy that.
But I'm a fan of that. I think that's great.
Yeah, it really doesn't have any continuity.
Yeah, and you don't really see many characters from that
pulling
game.
Pulling carrots?
You know,
what
like
is all that about?
Yeah.
Radishes. They were radishes.
Were they? There were no carrots in that?
No, they were radishes. And bombs. And those little guys, in the creepy little guys in the white masks.
Yeah.
Little red guys in the white masks. Looked somewhat like the Emperor's Guards from Return of the Jedi. Somewhat like those big mean things in the Beastmaster movie.
It's like the Heretic. James Earl Jones. Exorcist 2.
Oh, Exorcist 2, the movie
Locust.
The movie that never happened.
The movie really didn't happen. James, if you're listening, I don't understand. I mean, you're Darth Vader, for Christ's sake. Why? Man, you're dressed up in a locust costume. It was really the only plus to that movie, and there was one, was that Linda Blair is a hottie
in it too,
because she's like 18 and ripe for the picking.
Yeah.
But aside from that, that movie is cut up.
Yeah. So hey, I found out Christina Aguilera. She's 18.
Aguilera.
She's 18, so I can legally lust after her. Mm-hmm. I don't have to feel bad about it. Like I did with, say, Alicia Silverstone for a couple of years. I had to feel real dirty about, you know, lusting after her until she hit 18. And then it was socially acceptable. But my Christina Aguilera fetish can just run rampant, it's unchecked.
It's only a fetish because you like saying it.
Aguilera. Aguilabalabala.
She's a Cheney, man.
I hear
got to rub her the right way.
I hear Emilio Estevez keeps trying out for the part of the fourth Horseman of the Apocalypse, and he keeps getting turned down, and he keeps coming back in these pathetic disguises.
Yeah, I know, I heard mustache. That.
Emilio, how many times do we have to tell you?
You showed up as Emilio Sheen, like, last time. That was the last thing I heard. And everybody's like, what?
Yeah, Sheen's got a good name in this town.
Perhaps you've seen my brother, Charles?
Charles Sheen, the actor?
Or my other brother, Charlie Sheen, the coke-crazed sex hound?
Alright, we're going to move off to a song right about now, but what do we got coming up next?
Why do you do this to me?
All the time.
I'm doing it to myself too.
Begging for disappointment. I don't know, Miriam, why don't you tell us? Why don't you call us up and tell us what we're doing next?
Miriam, if you're out there, I'm going to write you an emo song, Miriam. Miriam, if you're out there.
It's really just begging for it.
It really is.
All right, let's do advice, because I'm sure everybody's stressed out, had a stressful holiday.
Yeah, okay. All right.
So, phones ring. Here's, for the rest of you who don't know the phone number is 359-9338, and here's some brand new Beck. Much.